if something was going on I didn't like. I liked that. I liked the way she was treating me. She still treats me good. I actually love her more now than I did then. We fought a lot back in those days. Well, she was a firstborn. You know, let me tell you something about firstborns. Firstborns don't even think about how, you know, they don't think about, can I get old enough to do this? Or what do I care about how somebody thinks about what I'm going to do? They just have always been the one that done everything first. And they don't care who likes it or don't like it. They just, you know, now I'm telling the truth about firstborns. Now you may get, you firstborns can get, I'm not a firstborn, by the way. I'm a middle child. You know, middle children, they want to make sure you know they're there. They want to make sure, you know, because I mean they're not the oldest, so they don't get that place, and they're not the baby. The baby gets all the attention, and the oldest gets to do everything first, and you're just stuck in the middle, and nobody pays any attention to you, so you have to make a lot of racket so somebody will pay some attention to you. You have to be, you know, forward and bold. But the firstborn, it doesn't matter what you think about what I'm doing. I'm the firstborn. Brother Michael was talking about this boy that I thought myself about this preacher's kid that came up with that when he was asked in an interview. I thought that, to me, that's pretty good that he even realized that. And he even realized that he thought he had an automatic, what'd you call it? Entitlement to the throne. You know, he said, it's just like being in a little kingdom and daddy's the king. And therefore, I thought I was supposed to be a prince. I was just automatically entitled. Well, the very fact Michael heard that and he was telling me about it. Of course, my daddy wasn't a preacher. Michael's was. So he's the one that's got the problem. But I do know that it's a truth because I've seen that in the body. I've seen, you know, kids in the body. In fact, there's people in the body that's been here for 40 years, you know, that think they got some entitlement over somebody that's been here just 5. And I've seen people 5 years pass up the 40-year ones, you know, because they're riding on their entitlement of how long I've been here, and they're not growing. But there's no entitlement for any of us. There's just one way to be saved, isn't there? By the grace of God. And the only way to get it's through the door of humility. And so we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all I do know that it does count what all you've done for God. God, that's one of the problems I had with this group of people that we fellowshipped in Missouri, that they just wanted to continually just dwell on the fact that our righteousness, we're sorry and undone and sinners, and there is no, you know, we never was nothing, never can be nothing. And I said, you might not be something, but I am. I was nothing when he found me, but I'm something today. Don't you discount what God's done in my life. I said, I'm not anything without him, and there's nothing I got because of who I am or what I did.
but it's because of what he's done in my life that's caused me to be who I am. And that entitles me to something. But I can't boast in myself of having the entitlement. I just boast in the inheritance that Jesus purchased for me and made available to me. And if I can keep yielding to him and get an understanding and keep building my relationship with him. Relationships are important, and you can't build much of a relationship without peace. Remember that. Be a peacemaker. It's one of the things I've learned about leadership. Just because you've got a title to stand behind this desk gives you no right to demand anything from anybody. And here, if you've got any influence, you've got to earn it. You've got to love people. You have to serve them. Jesus said, they that are greatest among you, let them be servants of all. If you want to have influence with people, you've got to make friends with them. You've got to become their friend until they drop the guard. Don't start in ever in life in a place saying, I got a position. You know, bless God, look at me, who I am. Because I've got a title. Don't make no difference if it's Mrs. or Mr. or, you know, or... But just drop all of that. You know, people knows, they know who you are. They know what you are if you've been given any place. But most young bosses are not liked very well. You have to learn how to make friends with your people you're the boss over. You got to learn how to make them love you. You got to learn how to love them, serve them. Appreciate them, yes. I was just thinking tonight, I looked over there and saw these piano players. I thought, God, you blessed this church. You blessed us with these good piano players. They always come up with it. Doesn't matter which one of them gets behind the desk. God covers that. And they have gifts, and the Lord blesses them. And here's the thing. It's God. We may have talents and gifts, but did you know God can't use our talents and gifts unless we get in the right spirit with him? If you ever get the feeling like my spirit isn't right and you're here in this building, I'm going to promise you your gift isn't going to work right. If you ever know that my spirit's wrong, I'm in a wrong spirit, I guarantee you your spirit's going to drown out the Spirit of God. You have to rebuke that thing. You got to take charge of it. Cast down every imagination that exalts itself. You got to push that aside. Forget about your entitlements. So whoever you are, you know, saints can think the same thing. I've been here for 14 years. You know, preachers can do the same thing. But all of us, we're just Brother Watson, he said we're just penciled in, all of us. You're in a little while, you're going to get, you know, we're going to erase your name. You're gone out of here. Somebody's took your place. You know, you may have went by way of the grave. That's all hope. That's why we go. I don't want to leave here unless I die. I want to stay till I die in this. I want to be committed to it. And I want to learn to love the things of God and righteousness and seek it. You know, I read a scripture the other day about pursuing peace. This scripture here says, the God of hope. Do you know we're serving a God of hope? He gives you hope. Hallelujah. When I came here, I heard a message of hope. I've got hope today. I've had hope ever since I got here. I've got hope I can do better. I've got hope I can make the bride. I've got hope I can be righteous. God can change me. He can, look, here's another scripture I'll give you. In Romans 8 that says, to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God can get your mind, and you could become spiritually minded. Your mind works with God's mind. You think like God thinks. There's life in that. And peace. Hallelujah. God, touch my mind. Help me, Lord. This is more than just meat and drink. It's more than just natural things or laws about situations. There's principles in those laws, but that's what we want to get is the principles of righteousness that God's transforming in our life. And look what he says here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, what? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a power in the Spirit of God that's in you that will cause you to abound in hope. That is that God can keep helping me to increase, and I can continue to have a relationship that's going to become greater and greater with him until I become like him. I've got hope for that. And he can fill you. How? Well, it takes understanding. It takes the word of God. It takes keeping commandments and laws, but not because we think that makes us righteous, but because we understand the principles. I was giving somebody a principle the other day. Maybe right now would be a good time to say something about it. One of the things I've learned, I heard this long time ago. Brother William Souders was alive, and I don't remember if it's Brother I can't remember which brother it was that was his church. He's having trouble in his church. And I think he was evil spirits. Yeah, he was preaching. He was dealing with the evil spirits. He told Brother Souders, said, our church, and I'm telling you, our church is right now stirred up. We've got troubles in the church. So what kind of troubles have you got? He said, we've been dealing with evil spirits. He said, well, what have you been preaching on? He said, I've been preaching on evil spirits. He said, well, you go home and don't you say another word about evil spirits for about 6 months. And he said, I did that. And he said, our troubles went away. I learned something when I heard about that. I learned that if you try to deal with things, you know, the worst time you can deal with your wife's when she's in a bad spirit. You come home and she's slinging pots around, and you walk in the door and you can feel there's something in the air. It's tight in here. Don't feel, ain't no peace in here. That's not a good time to say, you know, woman, you come over here and sit down. Oh, you might be better off to tell her. You might wait a little while. See if things will calm down a little bit. And then say, honey, have you had a bad day? Tell me about your day, honey. Now, you know, if you reach over to her and just try to touch her, and she said, get your hands off of me. Well, don't try to grab her up and pull her up to you. Just say, well, honey, you have had a bad day, haven't you? Do you want to talk about it?
Who are you and what have you done with my husband?
Somebody told me the other day, they said, I changed the furniture in the home, made it all pretty for my husband, so when he come home, he'd see how much I care about him and how pretty I made things. She said he walked in the door, never said a word, plopped down. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, "How do you like the furniture?" She said, "It's all right." And then they got hurt about that. You know, I didn't feel good. It's all right. I told him, I said, "Did you tell him?" "Tell him what?" I said, "Did you tell him you did it for him? Did you go in the bedroom later and say, 'Honey, I did all that for you, and you didn't even care. That hurt my feelings.'" "No." I asked her husband later, I said, "Did you know your wife changed the whole house around for you, make it pretty, and you didn't even know it?" He said, "What?" He said, "She changes the house around all the time. I never know she ever done it for me." I said, "Hello." Well, but see, if you don't communicate, I mean, if he don't know that that was for him, I mean, I want you to tell me if you done something for me and I didn't notice it. Because I'm really apt not to notice. I mean, I'm not real observant on certain things. You know, it may take me 2 or 3 days. Sometimes I'll ask my wife, "Have we always had that picture on the wall? How, when did you get that?" She'll say, "It's been there for 20 years. It's been there. It was just over there and I moved it over here." I said, "Really?" Yeah. Well, I want to be a peacemaker. I want to learn something about how to pursue peace. When I feel, you know, I feel somebody. Look, if you know somebody and they say something that, and you know they're a good person, but they say something that bothers you. Have you ever studied on how to make a friends with them? How to make them happy? I'll tell you the thing about me that I've never understood about myself. My wife had never studied either. Is I know. I absolutely know this. I know I could call her on the phone in the middle of the day and say, "How you doing, honey? I just wanted to hear your voice." Or I could just get her some flowers, just little old. I can pick wildflowers on the side of the road and just take them in the house to her. Say, "Look what I got you. Aren't they pretty?" I'm telling you, that works. That's good for a week anyway. That buy you a week of peace. I mean, yeah, you go fishing and do anything. Yeah, you hit a home run. And I've done that. And sometimes it takes me months to remember to do it again. If things get bad, if things gets to going wrong, I can't think about them flyers or that phone call. It don't somehow or another, it leaves me. Just little things that makes peace. You know, just little bitty things. I've really learned that about women. It doesn't take much to make a woman happy, but it don't take much to make her unhappy either. So, anyway, but that's something, you know, that I'm, and let me turn that around. You know, you can make a man happy just doing a few little things. Brother Jerry, could you use a little more peace at home? You know, he told me the other day. He told me, he said, you know, Brother Smith, I'm going to tell you, I've missed it so much with Sandra that from, he said, I've just pretty well settled it in mind. So, Sandra, I'm fixing to let you in on a real good deal here. He said, I've just about settled it in mind, wine, whatever she wants from here on out. It's all right with me. He said, I'm just getting where I love her that much. Yeah, he told me that. I bought you at least a week or two peace. You're obligated to. Oh. Well, but this has to be, you know, this really has to come for the heart to really work.
Yes, it does.
But God, you know, the Holy Ghost can make you a peacemaker. He can make you love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I just never do get in the Holy Ghost, but when I feel love, every time I come here and the Holy Ghost moves, I feel the love of God working in my heart. I just love all of y'all. It's enhanced when the Holy Ghost comes. And if I could get there, there's the secret that here's what Paul said, that the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you might abound in hope. How's that going to happen? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost will talk to you about Scripture. You can read your Bible and pray while you're reading it. And if God don't, He'll give you revelations while you're reading the Bible. But if He don't give it to you right then, in a little while, He might quicken something to you. You might run across some real gold nuggets while you're reading. But you're in too big a hurry to dig down and really get the gold. But if you'll meditate on it, if you'll ask God about it, God will quicken. I found this out. God will quicken things to your mind while you read the Bible. He'll just quicken you and you'll have, you know, you'll feel something about that. And then if you'll ask God about it later, when you lay down at night, what about that, God? What does that mean? And if God don't give you a revelation by the Holy Ghost individually, He'll have a preacher after a while. A preacher will talk on it. And I've been at the campground in different meetings. And I'd be, you know, there's been times when a man would start talking and somebody next to me would say something to me and I'd say, hey, I want to hear this. I've been waiting on an explanation for this scripture for years. This man's touching on something. I'm going to get this. Because I could tell he had something on it. And I just know that God right now, He wants us to get this peacemaker spirit, the Holy Ghost working peacemakers in our heart to... You know, we can make peace with strangers when they come in our doors, but I want to be at peace with every one of y'all. I want everybody in here and everybody that, you know, that I know in the body. I'd like to be a peacemaker. Listen, it's hard to find people that'll receive this message. We need to be at peace with those that's receiving it. People that's open their hearts. God quicken their hearts to this. Yeah. I want to have a lot of humility about and meekness about how I go about behaving myself in here in the kingdom of God with y'all. I would like for you to say He'll make peace with you. If he messes up and does, you know, get you mad at him, if you'll give him a while, he'll fix it. Don't you love this in here? That God just keeps... Somebody asked me about another preacher here, said, what do you think this brother's going to do? I said, I don't know, but I think God can talk to him. I'm telling you, if you're in here, if you'll open your heart, God will talk to you. That's what I love about this. This is God's work, and he loves everybody in here. I don't mean that we've got an entitlement to make it with a wrong spirit, but it just means if we'll try, God will make up the difference for us. And it's that Holy Ghost. And we've learned something about it. We've learned how to embrace the Holy Ghost and woo the Holy Ghost. One of the things that the ministry's been talking on here of late, a lot of preachers have been talking on how to win people, how to get this message out to more people. Some preachers has even addressed that by thinking that maybe we need to make some changes to not for it to look, not for us to be so strange. We hold such a holiness standard. Maybe if we didn't, if we'd relax that a little bit, it would help us win people. I'm glad something was planted in me deep way back there that knows better than that. You'll never win more people by relaxing holiness. You might get more people. I like this. Brother Brown made this statement at the campground. He said, "If you don't get people saved and get a vision and realize that they've got to overcome the flesh, and all you're doing is making them feel good when they come in these doors and sit down, you're just nourishing sinners. You're not saving people. We're in the business of saving souls unto perfection, unto life eternal." And I told somebody not long ago, I said, my Lord, there's not anybody with a stranger doctrine than the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they've gathered people by the thousands. They've proved you can gather people without... And you don't have to be like the world to gather people. Brother, they're strange people. That's a strange group of people, both of them. And they've learned how to gather people. I don't mean they're saving them, but they've studied on that. I think if we're going to gather anybody, it needs to be God wooing them. No man cometh unto me, Jesus said, except my Father draws him. I'd like to be a channel God can draw people through. And I'd like to study and make myself available for that. But I know if God don't touch them, it don't make no difference how I rope them, pull them in, corral them, harness them, or what I do to them. They won't make it. God has to touch your life. You've got to have something in your life that God sees and touches. And he begins to work in your life. But there has to be examples before you. You've got to have a love for righteousness and holiness. And God's true peace. What works true peace? The truth of God's work, a word will work peace down inside your heart. The Holy Ghost will make you be at peace. God, if you'll serve God and get all this message, he'll make not just your friends, not just your wife, or your husband, but your enemies be at peace with you. Right. Hallelujah. God will show us how. And what we can't do, God will do it for us. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I see right now this world's in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. The church is not. If we'll serve him and be true to him, we won't be in trouble. God of peace will protect us. He'll put us to rest. He'll keep us in a resting place. Hallelujah. So let the power of the Holy Ghost work in your heart, work in your life. Oh, I know what I was going to say a minute ago. It's too late. I ain't going to get on that. It would have been good. Yeah, you'd have wanted to hear it. Praise God. Let's all stand and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. God, enhance this relationship that we're trying to build in you. God, let something work down inside of us that draws us closer to you, helps us to know and understand you better. You're righteous. Your righteousness to work in us by the power of the Holy Ghost and understanding and a desire and yielding over to let you work in our lives. Let it flow out of us and touch others, oh God. Hallelujah. Give us peace where there seems to be no peace in this world, oh God. We love you, Lord. Dear Jesus, thank you for your goodness to us. My, wasn't a young people's